from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I got to check that beat, Alex, because I know I got a better sounding beat. That beat sounds like I downloaded it off LimeWire or something. Y'all know me, still the same OG, but I've been low-key, hated on by most of these. Jerry is in East Rockaway on the Fan. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
That last Yankee game had something for everybody. It was a real potpourri. But the funniest thing, I almost fell out of my chair when Oswaldo Cabrera scorching second base.
And oh, yeah.
Later, Susan has the stat nerd call in and tell her that the last time that happened was in
the
2000 season. Hip, hip, Jorge. So I thought that was quite hilarious. I just wanted to share two little vignettes with you, and then I'll hang up and listen to your reaction. The only time I remember that Mr. T, as the captain, El Capitan, called him, Derek Sanderson Jeter, got mad at Jeter, was it was Yankee team picture day, and Jeter and Jorge didn't show up. So they waited and waited and waited and waited, and finally they had to have two bat boys sit in for, or ball boys sit in for them, and airbrush the heads of Jorge and Jeter onto their bodies, which is kind of comical if you think of the way Jorge was built, and the bat boys and ball boys. So they finally show up at the stadium, and Torrey and Zimmer are fuming. Their carotid arteries are bulging, like steam is coming out of their ears. And then the excuse was that they forgot what day it was, and Jorge's wife was making spaghetti for them, and Jeter was enjoying a home-cooked meal, which I thought was quite hilarious. And the other thing, which I thought was equally funny, is that there used to be a show on cable. It was called Orange County Choppers, and they were these real, like, burly, blue-collar father and son guys who built motorcycles, custom-built motorcycles in around Beacon, New York. And then there was another brother who was an artist. And the mother was a huge Yankee fan, and her favorite Yankee was Hip Hip Jorge. So her son arranged for Jorge to pay a house call, and he walks in the door, and with this kind of classic Brooklyn accent, she yells out, "Georgie Posada!" So it gets back to the conversation we had a few weeks ago about what a regular guy Bernie Williams was, and how he went to the Galleria Mall and rode his motorcycle and pumped his own gas. But it's one of the things I loved about Jorge. And, you know, great switch hitting catcher. He called a good game. He had a cannon for an arm. He was great in the locker room. He could handle the pitchers, you know, everybody from Roger and Andy all the way down, up and down the line. And just one last little vignette, if I might switch gears. I happened to run into Dwight Gooden in a place of business not far from the Roosevelt Field Mall on Long Island recently. And I know he gets a lot of intrusive people coming up to him. But I said to him, Doc, I know you get this all the time from people who weren't there, but I was at your perfect game. I brought two identical twins who are also triplets. It was their first game ever in a Yankee game. And they left saying, oh, this is really interesting. They were like 9 years old. And then some neighbors took them later in the season, and it was David Wells' perfect game. Now, the Yankees hadn't had a perfect game since Don Larsen in the 55 World Series. So these nine-year-olds had the idea that every game they went to, the Yankees would win, and every game they went to would be a perfect game. So eventually they were disabused of that notion. But the thing about it that was so great was how down-to-earth Doc was. I didn't want to shake his hand, but he shook my hand. He had that characteristic grin on. He was wearing a very nondescript ball cap. And, you know, you don't realize how tall and lanky he is, but he had the grip of a blacksmith and just that classic grin. And when I said, "Doc, it was long overdue for you to get into the Mets Hall of Fame, and I'm so sorry that there was, you know, some lousy weather. I think there were only 18,000 people there. It was like early in the season." But, you know, like Jorge and like Bernie, he was just so down to earth and so personable.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. Yeah, they're all great guys. Doc, I've been around Doc a couple times from autograph shows, collector shows, but really in the perfect suite. Shout out to Andrew Levy, Suite 33 in Yankee Stadium, the perfect suite. Also, David Cohn pops up a lot in the perfect suite. I've been around both those guys, Doc. As you know, Jerry just said, you know, he's quiet as kept. He's got a strong grip. He is very tall and lanky, and he's just a modest guy. You know, you'd think he worried about how many people were in attendance for his day earlier in the year when the Mets were losing and it was bad weather. No, he was happy to be honored. And with Jorge Posada, I just had a story that I never told on The Fan. Now, I'm thinking about it was so long ago, but it just came back like a month ago. So, you know, I have a young son, and yeah, daycare exists, and we have family once in a while, and a lot of times I'm just taking care of my son or my wife is taking care of my son. But very early on, we were looking for nannies. And one of the nannies we interviewed on her resume was that she used to be Jorge Posada's nanny. So, of course, me, I'm like, yeah, bring her through. And she did like a trial run and took care of my son for like an hour, maybe 2 hours. But we ended up not going with her. And then fast forward a couple months, we go to this like kids gym thing. My wife and I take my son, and then we see her there taking care of another baby. So I'm like, oh, good. She found another baby to be a nanny for. And we ran into her again. But Bernie Williams as well, I can't say enough about Bernie. I literally love Bernie as a person, as a player. And for me, it's just ridiculous that like the first Yankee I looked at and, you know, saw myself in, not knowing Bernie was Puerto Rican, thinking he was a black dude in center field. I played center field. I looked at Bernie like, that's who I am on the Yankees. I dressed up as Bernie back-to-back Halloweens in second grade and third grade. And fast forward all these years, you know, I've told this story a bunch of times. One of the greatest things from WFAN, he was a big Steve Summers guy. So when I took over for Steve Summers, he immediately listened and followed me and reached out. And Forge, his manager, told me, yeah, Bernie's following you. And I'll never forget the day going to Instagram, clicking on Bernie Williams. And I didn't know he had an Instagram. I'm not thinking Bernie Williams on Instagram. And it said, follow back. I clicked that button so fast. And the next thing you know, I get to connect with Bernie. I just saw Bernie at the Ed Lucas Foundation dinner a week ago from today, last Thursday. That's why I wasn't on. I was with David Cohn and Joe Girardi and Wade Boggs and Brian Hoke and Sweeney Murdy and Tom Verducci and John Jastrzemski and everybody. Moose was there. Everybody was over there. And it was a great time. And it's just amazing to meet your idols and your legends and them to be good people, them to be solid guys. And that's something that I try to be. I hope when people meet me and they shake my hand and they see me in Yankee Stadium, or maybe you'll see me at Fanatics Fest, you just understand I'm real. I'm authentic. I'm just like you. I put in the work. God bless me to get some opportunities, but I'm still working. I still am grinding. I want more. But you can be great. Just don't think that you're greater than. You're not greater than anybody. You can be great and have your own greatness, but there's no reason to look down on anybody else. You know, I treat everybody the same when I meet them. And I'm thankful for anybody that, you know, comes up to me and says, hey, I listen to your show, or I follow you on Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is. It's a wild experience, because I know when it was quiet for me, when I was popped, when I was unemployed, when I wasn't doing things, my phone was dry. My own friends and family weren't even checking for me. So shout out to you guys. Hopefully we will see you all at Fanatics Fest tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow you'll get BT and Sal live from Fanatics Fest, and they'll be reacting to this Mets game. And I know we got a little clip of Sal Licata reacting to Hawk Tua Girl that is on the WFAN Instagram and Twitter circulating right now. Hawk Tua is trending in baseball circles on Twitter. Everybody in baseball, not just me, a Yankee fan talking about the Mets, everybody in baseball is talking about Hawk Tua Girl throwing out the first pitch and what transpired after. You have Sal's reaction queued up? Okay, my producer Alex AA has Sal's reaction. Let's play it before we take another call and then bring in Dellin Betances.
The Yankees have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto breaking records. Ruth, Mantle, Gehrig, and the Mets have Grimace, and now Hawk Tua. Come on, bro, I can't take it. I cannot take it anymore. It's ridiculous. And then you wonder why fans get so ticked off and upset. It's embarrassing. Is it the biggest deal in the world? No, absolutely. Does it mean anything on the field? No. But that's the problem. The product on the field isn't good enough, and you're coming up with these silly gimmicks that are laughing stock. It's a joke, Hot Tua.
BT. Hey, yo. Yo, those guys are the best. It was good to have Sal back this week. I mean, we still got tomorrow, and I think Sal is doing a Saturday show maybe with Joe B at Fanatics Fest. Man, it was good to have Sal back. We missed him last week when he was on vacation. Oh, man, that was just a pure reaction in the moment. Their show was ending. It was the last hour of their show, and that popped up. I actually was listening to that before I switched over to 880 to listen to Howie Rose, and honestly, that's what prompted me to go to social media. I'm like, where's their video of this? And then SNY Mets had a video, and then Major League Baseball put out a video. So I'm not making anything up or embellishing or whatever. I told you, I had no intentions of talking about that girl until now. Last call before we go to Dellen Betances. Peter is in Hopog, New York.
Hi,
Peter.
Keith.
What's
Hi,
up?
Keith. What's hey. Up, Keith? What's going with you? How's your son?
Good, man. You know, just getting bigger and eating more and talking more and turning into a monster.
Yeah. Okay, my question is to you. What do you think the Mets are going to be in the wild card or not?
If I had to answer that question today, I'm going to say that they don't make the third wild card spot, no.
Because they lost today. Because I thought the game was on because they lost today,
but they also got swept by the Mariners. They lost games to the Rockies.
Yeah,
they
lost, I know. I know. I turned those games off. I'm like, let me call my friend. And I started talking to her because she's a big Yankee fan. Her name is Cheryl. She's a big Yankee fan. And I was busting her chops. I'm like, Cheryl, never. See, she's a Yankee fan like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Without further delay, former Yankee and Met All-Star New Yorker, it's Dellen Betances on the Fan.
What's good, my brother? How you doing?
DB, what up, bro? How you feeling?
Same old, you know.
The kids good? The kids are put to bed? The kids are sleeping? We're in the clear?
Yeah, we're in the clear. Kids are sleeping. We're good. We're good to go.
You're the man, bro. My son's 16 years old, and I see you posting your kids. I see you, you know, working with your son and, you know, being a father first, a dad first. That's everything. So props to you for that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. They keep me busy, so.
I bet. So what you been up to lately? I mean, I saw you the other day on the Clubhouse show on Monday, sitting in with CeCe and the guys. But fill us in on the Fan, what you been up to.
So I stopped playing a couple years ago, obviously. Last year, I got back into baseball with the commissioner ambassador program. So I've been doing stuff with the league office, you know, just trying to promote the game international and, you know, learning the business side. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Recently, I was able to go to the Hank Aaron Invitational in Florida, where they invite about 140 kids from the inner city and, they go to Florida for a four-day workout. They play inter-squad games, and they take the best 44 to Truist Field in Atlanta where the Braves play.
Yeah, so, I'll be out there next weekend, yeah.
So they play that already. But I was there I was helping coach a couple of the kids there. So it was pretty cool to see some of the stuff that, you know, baseball is doing just to continue to have you know, kids from the inner city play this game, and you know, so that's pretty much it. You know, just been busy back in the game doing some stuff. So,
yeah, man, I remember running into you at the All-Star game in Seattle last year, and you were doing some stuff. And man, you're just one of those guys, bro. I don't think any Yankee fan will run into you and not be pumped up to see you, because we just remember those moments of dominance. You coming out of the bullpen, throwing gas, striking guys out. It's funny, coincidentally enough, the first All-Star game I went to was 2014 in Minnesota, and then I ran into you last year in Seattle. What was the experience like for you going to the All-Star game out in Minnesota?
My first All-Star game was amazing. I mean, you're talking about, like, it was Jeter's last year, so yep. His last All-Star game. I remember we were in Baltimore, and he's like, Dellen, you know, I'm taking a PJ to Minnesota, so just come with me. So, so you know, that experience was pretty dope. You know. Miguel Cabrera was there, you know, Robinson Cano, Mike Trout. But, you know, Jeter was the highlight there, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, from Jeter to Judge, man, captain to captain, I saw your tweet watching Judge. You know, they intentionally walked Soto to get to Judge. I saw your one of your reactions first. What were you thinking last night watching the game with the White Sox when Judge hit his 300th homer?
What are we doing? That's what I'm thinking. What is my man Grady Sizemore doing? He just, he just got the job while we were intentionally walking to face the best hitter on the planet.
He got confused.
Out of your mind.
He got confused.
You know how I knew? It was when a guy missed with the first three pitches pretty badly, and then Judge swings at a ball in,
yeah,
and takes it deep. I'm like, that was personal. He took it personal. Just like Jordan said in the Netflix series. He took it personal. He took him deep as 300. No better way to do it. I mean, Judge is unbelievable, man. It's been fun to watch him just continue to get better each and every year. The guy's incredible. He was a great player when I was there, and he's gotten better since. So, I mean, this is just shows all the work he puts in.
Yeah, it's crazy to see how he keeps getting better, right? And, you know, it's also crazy to see he's been around 7 years. He didn't get up here till he was 25, 26. And, you know, I saw you, CeCe, and Chris Young talking about him and talking about the Yankees on MLB Network. I mean, when you listen to CeCe talk about Judge, you know, it's like y'all are on the same timing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know the topic was what he gets to 500 home runs. I mean, that's as long as he stays healthy, I see him getting over 600. That's the way I see it. This guy gets better every year. Like, he's hitting, I mean, he's hitting over 330. Like, just impressive. You know, obviously, the last three years, his average is above 300. You know, obviously, earlier in his career, he was, like, mostly in the 280s. But it just shows he keeps getting better every year. Like, this guy, the ability to control the strike zone, just make, you know, barrel balls after, like, you know, every at-bat, it seems like he's barreling the ball. I mean, he's one of a kind, the best hitter I've seen play. And, you know, I mean, he's showing it out there every day.
So here's a question for you. I know you spent some time with the Mets briefly, and I was watching the game a couple nights ago when Austin Adams came out of the bullpen, and he got out of the inning. And then he mocked the, oh, my God. He threw the hands up like Iglesias and them do. And then he was cursing at Francisco Alvarez. Like, yo, what does that feel like to come out of bullpen, get those outs, and just have that adrenaline rush? And then also, if you saw that, you know, how would you have responded? How do you think baseball players respond to being mocked and guys kind of trolling them like that in the moment?
He must feel some type of vendetta towards the Mets. I seen the video, and I know, I think he was with them earlier in the year, so he feels a certain type of way. I mean, but, you know, once he come out of the bullpen, the adrenaline is at an all-time high, and, you know, I think it was a little too excessive, but maybe, you know, that's maybe his personality. I don't know him like that, but, I mean, he must have felt a certain type of way getting let go by the Mets, and then he gets in there and gets a couple big outs, and he let it all out. That's what I'll say.
So we're looking at the Mets season. We're looking at the Yankees season. I mean, there's different bars, but obviously the Mets swept the Yankees, and everybody in New York was talking about how the Mets are back, the Mets are this and that, and then you fast forward here not even a month, just a couple weeks later, and it's like the Mets are on the outside of the wild card. And the Yankees are fighting for first place. If you had to predict how the season ends, where do you see the Yankees ending? Where do you see the Mets ending?
My prediction is that the Yankees are going to the World Series. Obviously, they haven't been playing the way you would have liked. They've turned it around as of recently. But, you know, I feel like the whole American League's kind of been struggling in a way. But I think the Yankees, I'm hoping that they get to the World Series. That's my prediction. Win the division and get there.
Yeah.
And then with the Mets, I do see the Mets getting one of those last wild cards. They've been playing pretty good. Obviously, they were in the wild card. I'm not sure if they're in right now, but
they're right there. They're a couple games.
They're right there regardless. I feel like they'll finish strong and maybe potentially get that last wild card. So
yeah,
I'm hoping they get in there, man.
We need New York in the postseason this year. That's what the postseason was missing last year. We need both Queens and the Bronx to have postseason games. That'd be ideal because baseball is better when you have the mecca of baseball, the capital of baseball, both the Yankees and Mets fans represented in October.
I definitely agree. We need New York baseball in the playoffs. There's no better way, no better atmosphere to play in. So I hope I hope the Mets get there, but you know, being a Yankee for a long time, my hope is that they get to the World Series. So I'm keeping my prayers up.
Yes, sir. DB, you're the man, yo. I'll see you in Legends, or I'll catch you. Are you going to Fanatics Fest? I'll catch you at one of these baseball events or Yankee Stadium.
I'm actually going to watch the Yankees Sunday night at Williamsport, so I'll be there for that.
Awesome.
So I'm pretty excited. I'll miss the Fanatic event. I was supposed to go tomorrow. I mean, on Saturday. Sorry, not tomorrow. It starts on Friday, but
you and I switched places. I actually used to go to that camp that they had. I went 2 years as a youngin', like age 10 and 11, to Williamsport baseball camp. So when I heard that the Yankees were going, I'm like, I'm going out there. But I'm going to be hosting from Fanatics at Javits Center on Sunday, so I can't make the trip. But that's going to be an awesome trip, an awesome event for those kids. And it's just like a big baseball festival out there. It's a great vibe, great energy. When you get out there, you'll see it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to get there. But you're going to have some fun. There's some legends in that Fanatic thing, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know Jeter's pulling up.
Yeah, they got Jeter. I've seen Reggie Jackson.
Yup. I think Matsui.
Yeah, Matsui's there, too.
I've been around Matsui.
I know CeCe's going.
I've been around CeCe as well.
There's a bunch of people going.
Yeah, it's a good look for the city. It's like Sports Comic Con, and I don't think they've ever had a bigger sports convention. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, you're the man, bro. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Go get some rest.
All right, brother. Take care.
Peace. Dellin Betances, former Yankee, former Met. Man, DB is just a man. When he was a Yankee, he was so dominant. I just was talking a couple nights ago about how in 2019 we needed him and he got hurt, and that was a huge blow to the Yankees postseason run. And then he wasn't a Yankee anymore. And like when I ran into him, I just posted him on my Twitter. I was like, I was trying to find a picture before I brought him on of me and Betances last year at the Players Alliance event in Seattle. And he's like 6'6". And when Yankee fans see him, we got nothing but love for that guy. And I hit him up today, you know, coming off the Austin Adams stuff, to talk a little bit of that experience or what he thinks of that from his experience coming out of the pen, a little bit about the Yankees, because I saw him tweeting about Judge and I saw him on the clubhouse stuff, and I'm glad I was able to bring him on for the first time tonight. But that's it. I got no more guests. This is a 5-hour show. We've got more than 90 minutes left. Let's take a break right here, and then we're going to hammer the phones. We've talked about everything from Hawk Tua girl throwing out the first pitch, viral, another viral movie for this girl who thought she had 15 minutes of fame. I actually heard that she made an LLC called 16 Minutes or 16, because clearly she's stretching this thing out. They stretched that Mets game out, 3 hours and 45 minutes, a one-run loss. They tied their season high with 11 walks, and it was just a 5-0 lead, absolutely given up. The Yankees are off, but we're still talking about Aaron Judge, his greatness, and guys like Oswaldo Cabrera coming through, Austin Wells coming through, Juan Soto, of course. And we leaned a little bit into the Jets conversation with Zach Rosenblatt, talking about everything with the Gotham City football team. I sprinkled a little bit of my takes on the New York Giants in there, so we can do all of that. We talked about, you know, Major League Baseball, again, trying to change the rules, and, oh, we're going to, you know, change the rules to have starting pitchers on the mound for 6 innings. Yeah, good luck with all of that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, here you go. 239. with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Favorite show. Not done. He gonna do one more. Yeah, we got like one more hour and some change. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Just trying to get you through the night. Just trying to entertain a little bit. You know, looking through my notes. I misspoke. I think I said that the Mets lost some games to the Rockies. No, they lost a couple games to the Angels. They only lost one game to the Rockies. But man, there was that one game that JD Martinez, like, that 5-4 loss against the Angels, that was the loss where I'm like, bruh, can't happen. Can't have that. It's not going your way. You get a grand slam from JD Martinez, who said he picked the Mets because he wants to be in the postseason. He's addicted to the postseason. JD Martinez, who also said, you know, there's no pressure on us. Let's just go out there and play. Well, there was no pressure for a while. Now there's a ton of pressure. The season is long and ever-changing. It's a winding road and a path to the finish. No one can predict it. No one can call it. But yet we come here every night and we try to. We come here every day and we try to. Maybe you know. Maybe you know. Call me up. 888-808-1019. I'm still looking for things online. And like I said, when you just Google Mets and you click on news, like these are the headlines. Hawk Tua spits on Citi Field after throwing first pitch for Mets. Crowd groans. That's from OutKick. TMZ. Hawk to a girl. Haley Welch throws out first pitch at Mets game. Mets first pitch by Hack to a Girl ends in viral sensation. Awful announcing. Mets beat writer not allowed to mention Hawk to a Girl. Talking about Tim Healy. Shout out to Tim Healy. It's just like, it's everywhere. So, yeah, I guess the Mets won the day on the internet, but we're trying to win games right now. There's a race to the postseason going on right now. This should have been done at another time or not at all. It was late. It was late. This girl went viral back in, like, I don't know, May? It was late. Pete in Whitestone, New York. Pete, you're on the Fan in New York. You all right? You good?
J-Mac.
Okay, yeah.
The Mets lost another game like that J.D. Martinez game today, just for info. You know, I love him and I hate him. But at any rate, I just want to chime in on all this if you give me a minute. You know, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble because I know, like, most sports fans are big babies. But everything is about money. Sports doesn't exist for your benefit or your entertainment. It exists for people to make loads of money while under the guise of caring about you and entertaining you. That's what this was all about with that girl. Okay?
How much
She's
money
hot right now.
How much money did they make off of this? They probably paid
it
her.
Yes, but it generates, look at all the banter, look at all the talk, look at all the sports talk, look at all the headlines.
No such publicity is bad publicity. You're right.
There you go. Right. So, and then I just want to chime in about the morality police, okay? I'm not even going to go there and say what all these high moral police people's daughters and sons are doing at 15, 16, 17 years old, okay? Trust me, they knew exactly what Hawk Tua meant before it went viral, okay? That's number one. And these are all the same people that were, like, freaking out because Barry Bonds was encouraged to take steroids years ago by his baseball people. And then they look the other way and throw them under the bus when everything became illegal and publicized. Okay? It's about money. And it's about all of that profit. And that's why Barry Bonds was encouraged to take steroids 25 years ago so that, you know, he could generate fan interest. And
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Pete. I've heard it. Oh, Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame. It was the game of shadows. Bud Selig oversaw the league when they were all juicing. Yeah, well, they needed something. I keep talking about me being at Williamsport. Like, I literally wanted to go, but I'd much rather host live from Fanatics Fest Sunday, 12 to 3. Stop by the booth. Dress up like Boomer Esiason. Man, dress up like Sal Licata. Dress up like me. I'll see you guys Sunday. And I'm in there tomorrow. I'm not hosting tomorrow. I'm in there bopping. Fanatics reached out, gave me a VIP pass. They want me to talk on like some type of panel or something, like a focus group. I'm like, yo, it's not a problem. Not a problem. I'll come through. Like, I would go anyway. If I wasn't a radio host in New York City, if I didn't have an Instagram, Twitter following, like, I would go as a fan. I love sports. I think if you guys listen to me long enough, you understand I don't do anything else but watch sports, talk sports. I used to play sports. I don't watch movies. I don't watch Netflix. I barely go to concerts. The only reason I went to the Drake and Lil Wayne concert to see two goats was because it was where the Devils play. Shout out to the Devils, always showing me love. Cannot wait to get back to the Rock. Talk about a stacked roster with the Jets. The Devils went and stacked that roster, but we'll table that for another time. 888-808-1019. Yeah, you can feel how you want to feel, but we are in this time, man. Everything is for the internet, and it's crazy. I was just having a conversation. When I started working in social media in 2015 at MTV, MTV was so stuck on linear television. And it's funny, right? Video killed the radio star. Well, social media killed the video star. I felt like when I was at MTV, I was always fighting for them to do things like, yo, let's clip this and put this on YouTube. Let's clip this and put this on Facebook. Before TikTok was TikTok, it was Musical.ly. I remember demoing it at MTV. All it was back then was little girls singing songs and doing dances, and then it became TikTok. But like, what I'm saying is I've been in all of this. I understand all of this. And I remember when marketing people didn't take social media seriously. They thought it was a fad. Now it drives everything. Now it drives people nuts. Now there are people that live in their phones and can't separate from the fake world of social media and the reality that we live in. I thank God that I'm part of the last generation. Like, I used to spend all day without a phone. I could leave my house on my bike, sun up to sun down. I still do that. Shout out to Loogie. Loogie was off 2 days ago. I saw him still tweeting. I said, bro, delete the app. It makes the off days better. I moved a couple weeks ago. I was off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I deleted all social media apps. I don't need it. I use it as a tool to promote myself, my show, and my brand. Because I understand what it is. It's a cesspool. It's nonsense. It's garbage. A girl will be walking the streets of Tennessee, and the guy that's actually filming and interviewing, no one knows who he is, but he asks her a question. She gets sexually explicit. She blows up because of it. That's America in 2024. Ain't that something? Let's go to Izzy and Muncie on the fan. What's up, Izzy?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. You know, just passing the time till 12.
Yeah, that's the plan. Just want to talk about these Mets. How in the world they're winning against these good teams? They swept the Yankees. They're playing the Twins, and then they get to Mariners, the Rockies. Like they're losing all these games. How are they losing against all these bad teams? Like they have a good team. They're winning against good teams. When it comes to bad teams, they're losing.
I'll tell you, their pitching isn't holding up the way it once did. Severino hasn't looked like an ace anymore. Jose Quintana, I don't know what he is. You can't trust him as far as you can throw him. David Peterson, last night I was on the fan late. I don't know if anybody heard me. I said, that guy's an unsung hero in all this. He's 7-1. Since May 29th, he's got a 3.04 ERA. He's been one of the best pitchers in the National League. But other than that, like Paul Blackburn, his first start in Citi Field against his former team, he didn't have it. And Sean Manaea, you hope he can continue to be stellar, but you can't count on that. Christian Scott got hurt. Kodai Senga got hurt. This bullpen has been reimagined and rebuilt, but it isn't stellar. It isn't solid. You can't trust some of these guys coming out of the bullpen still. So when the lineup is not putting up double digits in the R column and the H column like they were, like the Mets lineup had a ridiculous, like I remember there was a run that they were on where they were the best hitting offense for weeks. They're not that anymore. And honestly, in a game where you go up 5-0, in a game where you score 6 runs, against the Sacramento A's, you should be able to win that game. But there was some cosmic power. There was a higher energy. The baseball god saw Hawk Tua with a Mets jersey. And then she was at a podium with a microphone and a Mets step and repeat behind her. What were the Mets beat reporters or anybody interviewing her and asking her? I don't know what questions they asked this girl. But, like, look what happened. You have a game where you take an L, you lose the series, and it's viral now. And there are so many people helicoptering in that haven't been watching the Mets, that don't understand this Mets season, and they're just laughing at the Mets. Thanks for the call, Izzy. Sometimes you got to say some stuff. And then I do my job, and I give you some stuff back, and then I try to pass the ball back to you, and you're like, oh, I didn't know you was going to pass me the rock. This guy knows what to do. It's Mario out in Long Beach.
What's going on, my man? Good show, as always.
Yeah, just trying to rock, you know, just trying to entertain some people, pass the time, talk about the things that we're supposed to talk about.
So I got two things I'd like to talk about real quick. First is the Jets and then the Yankees. First of all, you know, we have to thank Zach Wilson. You know why? Because he was so bad that we would have never been able to draft Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall in 2022.
Yeah.
When I'm playing that.
And thank Joe Douglas. They absolutely hit on all three of those guys. And Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah. And also, listen, who else was in that draft? Jeremy Ruckert. He's still a solid backup tight end. Breece Hall is there. Max Mitchell, he's also a second-string offensive lineman. And Michael Clemens, he's a...
Yeah, like my, all right, Michael all Clemens. But we can just keep it to the first four picks. The first four picks.
But wait a minute. But the seven of them are still on the team.
Sure.
All seven of them.
Yep. They haven't won anything yet, but they're good. They're good players. This is the year.
Yeah. Now, quickly about the Yankees. You know, it's very interesting when people talk about Bonds and they say, it's not really true, because if you look at the stats, right, the most homers per at-bat in the history of Major League Baseball starts with Mark McGwire, which you could throw that out the window because we know what Mark McGwire did, 10.76 times at-bat for a homer. Second was Babe Ruth, 11.22. Third is Aaron Judge, 11.99. Fourth is Barry Bonds, 12.92.
Sure.
So he hits more homers at bat, Judge, than anybody who wasn't on steroids but Babe Ruth. You know? And then another thing real quick is
thank you for that. Arguments can be made for whoever. It's subjective, but there are numbers that you can cherry pick or you can find to state your case.
I don't see how you can argue. If you hit a home run at bat every 11
times. I'm not arguing
with
anybody. I've already made up my mind. Judge is the best. That's it. I've seen it.
Yeah. I know we're on the same page because we're both lifelong Yankee fans, you know. And his 300th home run, he made it in 950 games. That's like 130 games better than the second person.
It doesn't make any
sense. It's not even close.
When you think about
how... The guy is like insane.
You think about how many games he missed due to injury. You think about the slow start that he had to this year. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense. This guy is incredible.
That's one of the reasons why Soto's not going to go anywhere. He doesn't want to break up this duel. He's going to stay with New York. They're going to pay him maybe a little bit less, but it's going to be close enough. It's still going to be generational money.
I'm glad you brought that to the table again, because here's something that I didn't say, but I said this early in the year. Man, I go to Yankee Stadium. I already have close to 25 games under my belt this season. I'm not flexing on the creatures because I know a lot of you creatures are already in the 4Es, whatever. But I got a baby now, and I got a job, and I can't go to as many games. But I'm around 25 games, and very early on, I watch how Soto comes out of that dugout, skips over that foul line, greets the whole right side, right foul pole, into the bleachers, everybody, how he embraces the roll call. Like, the guy loves playing here. And then the fact that he's hitting in front of Aaron Judge, Judge is protecting him, he's having the best season of his career. He's going to go to the Mets and hit in front of who?
Exactly.
I mean, I know they're trying out different number two hitters right now, but like we gotta look at what's in front of us. He's gonna hit in front of JD Martinez next year.
About these two. Hello.
Yeah, you're there. Go for it.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Think about this: those two guys together, they could go down in history where they could be Mantle Maris, Judge Soto.
I think the Yankees have some leverage too, Mario. Like, I just think they have some leverage because they know that they're the Yankees. They have Judge locked up. They have the bleacher creatures. They have the short porch in right field. Citi Field's not built like that in right field. Like, there's just so many things about this guy's brand with Under Armour. What do you think the people at Under Armour that sponsor him, that, you know, they're probably going to make a Juan Soto line of Under Armour stuff once he signs with the Yankees. They're telling him, hey, Juan, it's better for us if you stay with the pinstripes, not the orange and blue pinstripes. Like, just stay here with the Yankees.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they wound up doing commercials together, both Judge and Soto, in the same commercial.
The possibilities are endless.
Thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Thanks for the call, Mario. Imagine they win the World Series this year. And then it goes on and on and on. Imagine they get to the World Series and lose this year. It'll still go on and on and on because it'll be Juan Soto and Aaron Judge on their cotton quest to get back to the next World Series year after year after year after year. Juan Soto jersey day at the stadium. I know I put that on my Instagram. I put that on Twitter. And me being a stadium fan, you know, bringing that to WFAN. I know we have a lot of people that are Yankee fans that talk on WFAN. More Mets fans. But, like, me bringing my stadium experience and knowledge to the fan, I'm basically, you know, telling you guys that don't get to go to as many games what it's like. Bro, the way people showed up for Juan Soto basketball jersey night was bigger than any bobblehead I ever saw. Not everybody collects bobbleheads. Not everybody wants to take that bobblehead and carry it around the stadium. I know I was one of the first people in there. And as soon as they hand me my jersey, it's on. People were wearing it. So, like, you know, the possibilities are endless. And sure, there's a thought that they can have a Mets Juan Soto jersey next year. But, like, the guy is already here. He's already in New York as a New York Yankee. He's already playing with Aaron Judge. And if these guys go on to have a great run in October and he gets to smell that October air, I am dying for it. I am literally dying for this postseason run to come. For that four-line train to go over, and I'm just somewhere in the Bronx, like, here it is. I want that feeling of, like, yo, this is for real now. ALDS, ALCS, World Series? I've never been to a World Series. I might not be able to afford a ticket, but I bet you I'll find my way in there. 888-808-1019. I need it. I need to see Judge and Soto there. I need to see Juan Soto be the best of the best. Like, Juan Soto, he pressed that first game Monday. And I should have known because I bet the bets that I had Monday for him, I had Juan Soto to homer, Juan Soto to hit the first homer, Juan Soto to hit two homers. I had all of those bets in on Monday. Tuesday, I took care of my son all day. It was, you know, we were celebrating my son turning 16 months. I was in the pool with him. I took him to the park, everything. I was exhausted. By the time I put him to bed, I went to bed. And then I got up right at 8 o'clock. The game started at 8:10, and I said, I didn't put in any Juan Soto bets. Juan Soto comes out. He hits three home runs. He hits the first home run. That would have cashed. He hits three home runs. I would have cashed the three bets that I had. Him to homer first, him to homer twice. No way was I thinking he was going to hit three homers. Maybe somebody did. But what I'm saying is you could tell when he presses and he's swinging out of his stance and he's down to one knee or he's taking swings that aren't him or he's getting frustrated by little calls, whatever, and he doesn't have a good night at the plate for his standards, he locks in. So everything we heard the next day, 6:20, he was in the batting cage getting extra work. He talked to the hitting coaches. He locked in. After the game, he talked to Meredith. He said he's focusing on his accuracy. He's focusing on hitting the ball accurately, blah, 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 blah. And he turned it into a ridiculous performance. His first time ever hitting three home runs, he does it as a Yankee. I don't know. It's funny how the pendulum swings, right? The Mets sweep the Yankees in the Subway Series, and we're like, wow, well, Juan Soto's been on the losing end of these Subway Series games. Who cares? They're regular season games against a National League team. Who cares? The Yankees don't care. I tried to tell you all that. People, oh, this typical loser Yankee fan coping. Oh, yeah, all right, Keith. They don't care, bro. They don't care about beating the Mets in the Subway Series. They're trying to win the division and get to the World Series. 888-808-1019. So I don't think it had really any legs or leverage for Juan Soto to be like, you know what, man? They have an OMG sign when they hit home runs over there. I might actually want to be a Met. You know what? Grimace, never heard of him. But maybe I'll hit a couple more home runs with Grimace power. It was never a thing, bro. It was never a thing. It evaporated. That's it. Mikey's in the Bronx. Mike, you're on the fan. Mike, come on. Mike, it's your turn. Well, your loss is Miriam's gain. Hey, Miriam in Forest Hill, quickly, before we go to break, Miriam.
Cast, Mets are going to win tomorrow. I'm not worried about it. I hope they do. I hope Alonzo has another two home run game and does his thing. And I hope you and the mommy and the kitty and the baby are fine.
Oh, we're great. We moved into a nice, better place for us. I miss them when I'm when I'm here. They're home sleeping. All three of them are home sleeping. Good, I got to creep in at night and be quiet because I don't want no smoke with any of them.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope you'll be all right. Don't worry. The Yankees and the Mets will be fine. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, but we, you know, we got to worry night by night and day by day. We got to put our passion into these shows, and we got to express things and proclaim things, and then, you know, we'll see what happens.
It's baseball. I'm looking forward to Islanders Devils.
Yeah, you just heard me. Yeah, that must have, your ears must have rang when I talked. They were like, hold on, let me call. I'm ready for hockey to start.
Me too.
I know we got to get to football, but I'm like, man, this next hockey season is going to be good. And at least now, this is my fourth hockey season. I'm like, I know some things.
Yep. See, now you know what to do. I'm glad.
Yeah, now
I'm
in.
It's going to be fun.
Now I'm in.
It's going to be fun.
Thanks for the call, Miriam. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, my Casamigos Big Shot of the Night, and then what I like to call Open Mic Hour. Which means we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Sports related. Let's not get too deep into the whole Hawk Tua thing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.